I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hanson Scotty, Big Day, Will Hardy, the newest head coach of the Utah Jazz. Jazz have found their man after Quinn Snyder deciding to step down and part ways with the Utah Jazz. Will Hardy, the tender age of 34 years old. Jeez.
Also, if you're just tuning in, Dave Fizdale is announced as the assistant general manager with the Utah Jazz. So now you've got Justin Zanuck and Dave Fizdale that are in that office working together, probably pretty heavy opinions. One of them a longtime GM, one of them actually more of a coach than he has been on the GM side of things, but a very good understanding of both. Now Fizdale moving into the office and working under Danny Ainge. So you've got a three-headed monster with a lot of opinions and a lot of voice. And, Scotty, I can only imagine, you only make that hire with David Fizdale if Danny Ainge truly has command of that room. So it's kind of a reaffirmation to me that Danny Ainge does, in fact, have a good voice in that room and is ready to take on more opinions. And I think Fizdale is going to be a fantastic addition.
All right, we'll talk about that and Will Hardy, the new head coach of the Utah Jazz, with Keith Smith. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA, a contributor for Sports Rack, the Celtics blog, great NBA writer. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right, the Will Hardy, you're close with that Celtics organization. Give us the background and the thoughts on Will Hardy becoming the newest coach of the Jazz.
Yeah, I think this is a really good hire for Utah. It, you know, once it seemed like they were maybe more committed to going the assistant route than the established head coach, I immediately thought Will Hardy, should be near the top of their list. He's a younger guy. He relates well to the players because of that. I think he gets a lot of, what they're kind of going through and where they're at in their life moments. At this point, he's well regarded as an offensive coach. He's somebody that I know Ime Udoka and the rest of the Celtics staff leaned on, but he's also a pretty good all-around guy. He's really into film study, learning, and came up through the Spurs video room initially, then moved over to the coaching, the full-time coaching side with Greg Popovich. And there was a lot of talk of him being, maybe the assistant in waiting to replace Pop. And if you're on that list, that's a pretty good list to be on.
So we have here in Utah Jazz kind of a budding superstar in Donovan Mitchell, and we're seeing him hit a bit of a ceiling, especially on the defensive side of things. But, I was really interested in a coach coming in that could have a good voice with him. You answered it a little bit when you said that the players respect him, but what type of relationship did he have with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, it seems like it was really good from everything we understand. It's a little harder now. You're not around the team the way you used to be, seeing quite as much in the locker room and in the practices the way it used to be. So much of the access is now more controlled, I guess, is the best way to put that. But it seems like he, in a very short time, because he was only in Boston for about not even a full calendar year by the time we get it all together here, but it seems like he built a really good relationship with those guys in a pretty short time. And one of the other players that I've heard he built a good relationship with as well was Marcus Smart, who can be at times a little bit tough because he's a little more, all right, hey, you got to earn it with me. I've been around for a while. I've kind of done my thing, but it seems like they built a good relationship too. So that also, would give me a lot of hope that he should be able to make it work with Donovan Mitchell.
You covered the Celtics a lot during the Danny Ainge era. Does this hire kind of fit the mold for what Danny, when you see Danny Ainge make a hire like this, you're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think, Danny is, he's always kind of looking for the next up and comer. I think people, forget a little bit, not that Doc Rivers was a, young coach who hadn't been there because he'd coached Orlando before, but when Danny brought him in to coach the Celtics, he was seen as a guy who's like, all right, this guy's going to figure it out. And that was so many years ago now that almost seems like a crazy thing because he's so ingrained in us. But then when they moved on and Doc Rivers, as they were rebuilding, wanted to go to the Clippers, Danny, went off, completely, out of left field with the Brad Stevens hire. And that was not something anybody expected to see or anything like that. And I think this is another one of those where there's something he likes. I think he likes the dedication of the game. It's kind of a lifelong thing for him with these guys who live and breathe it. And I think he likes the younger guys who can come in and connect to some people.
I'm really curious with his connections and just what he knows, kind of the assistants around him and also his type of leadership. When you interviewed him, talked with him, talked to people about him, do they respect him as that leader, even though he doesn't have the head coaching position or experience?
Yeah, they do. That was always the word, both in San Antonio, talking to folks there when he was coming over to Boston to be Ime Udoka's assistant, and then in his time in Boston, there was always a lot of people said, hey, he's a younger guy. It can sometimes be hard for the guys who didn't play in the league, and Ime Udoka's staff is filled with guys who played in the NBA. But what we hear is, he's somebody that the players are like, doesn't matter. He knows the stuff. He's here to make us better. And they really did have a healthy respect for him. He was somebody you would often see too. If you watch Celtics games, when things would maybe be going a little bit sideways, Will Hardy was the first one up off the bench to kind of walk over and get Ime Udoka's ear about something or tell him, hey, we got to, do this or do that. There was a lot of times when we heard he would take over sometimes in the huddle when it was, all right, we need a play, and be like, all right, hey, this play works, because he's known to be a guy who's super well prepared. He can kind of dial up. The idea is, all right, we ran this when I was with the Spurs against this team 4 years ago, and it worked, and here's why. And then it's, all right, let's run that and go. And they were one of the best after timeout teams in the league. So I think he's going to bring a lot of those same qualities to the Jazz.
Keith Smith joining us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, as the Jazz get their guy in Will Hardy. But let's talk about David Fizdale. How surprised are you that he's now a member of the Jazz front office as assistant general manager?
Yeah, a little bit. We're starting to see this happen a little bit more, where we're seeing guys go from one side of the kind of office to the other, from the coaching side of the front office, or sometimes from the front office side to the bench. So it doesn't completely surprise me that this is the direction David Fizdale's going, but I got to wonder if he's looking at it and saying, I've done the coaching thing as an assistant and as a head coach for a long time now, and it's maybe time to learn a different part of the business and start to see that. And I think we've seen some of the guys come over, as long as they have a good staff in place to work with, they've had success in those areas. So I think this is a great opportunity for him, with Danny Ainge, with Justin Zanuck, to get in there and learn under some guys who've been doing it for a while and been doing it pretty well for quite a while. So this is, I think, a good move for David Fizdale.
So overall, you're just looking at the Jazz advancing on a 5-year contract in this situation. You really feel like this is a good move for the Utah Jazz?
Hey, on the Will Hardy side?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I really do. My guess is, if we get all the details, it's probably more like a 4-year with then the Jazz holding an option. That tends to be the prevailing way these coach hires go. So that would be my guess. is how that's going to work. But I do. I think if you're going to hire a younger coach, you have to give it has to be a little bit longer term with a little bit longer of a commitment to give them that chance to grow into the job. You can't expect them to come in immediately and be great, you know, day one. It's probably going to take a little while. I said this regularly to Celtics fans about Ime Udoka when it was, you know, December and January, and people were like, I don't know, they're 500, they're under 500, this guy's probably not the coach. And I said, you know, if you're being rational, you don't give up on a rookie player 2-3 months into his career. You know, let's give the coach a chance, too, to be a head coach and learn and figure things out. And, you know, maybe I'm a little biased here, but I think it worked out okay with the finals trip.
From your bird's eye view of this organization, when you see a hire like this, 34 years old, and I'm sure they'll bring some experience to help him out on the bench, but when you see a youth movement at the coach like this, it would have been easy to bring in Terry Stotts or, you know, Frank Vogel and say, okay, look, we're going to make this work with Donovan. We're going to make this work with Rudy. These are experienced guys that have been there with some, you know, with some alpha dogs, and they know how to work with these types of egos. It'd be really easy to see this movement and say, well, that's also a sign that they're about ready to turn the page from maybe Rudy Gobert and quite possibly Donovan Mitchell. Do you see it like that? Or do you think that this is the kind of guy that can make egos like that work?
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that it has to go that way. I think, you know, there again, to bring it back to Boston, there was a little bit of that thought on, you know, all right, they're bringing in a first-time head coach. Maybe this team is going to pivot into, all right, let's tear it down and go. And then the very, you know, actually before they hired Udoka, they traded for Al Horford. And that turned into a whole, you know, run of, all right, you know, maybe we're not going this rebuild route. And I think what you do is you give Will Hardy a chance with probably the base of this group. There'll be some change because there's always some change in the offseason. But I think, you know, give him a chance with this, see where it goes, get into the season, and if it's not working, you can always reapproach that. I think one of the things that we rush to judgment on is we rush to proclaim young teams on the way up that they're here and they've arrived, and then we rush to tear teams down when they don't win right away. And I get it for the Jazz. It's kind of been knocking on that door for a long time, and maybe this group isn't the one to open it, but with a new head coach and some new fresh ideas and a little bit of different stuff on the bench, maybe you do get a little bit different results. So I do think that they're going to give them at least a shot with the kind of, again, the base of this roster.
All right, let's put all the players and everybody else aside, and let's talk about Scotty and I over here individually. So what are we in for as far as interviewing this guy, talking with him?
That's all we care about, yeah, honestly.
I want to know what type of guy we're getting over here, because it's been fun. We had a great relationship with Jerry Sloan. We've had great relationships with Quinn Snyder. These guys have been open, up front. What do you think Will Hardy's going to be like, or what is Will Hardy like with the media?
Yeah, we didn't get a ton of time with him, but the time that we did get to kind of talk to him and then talking to some other folks who know him, I think you're going to get a lot of the same stuff. I think you're going to get a guy who, you know, he might not be as, at least from, you know, my kind of flying in and flying out with Quinn Snyder and Jerry Sloan, was there was always a little bit of a sarcastic humor in there. You may not get that necessarily, but you're going to get somebody who's personable. I think he's going to explain a lot of the things that he's trying to do and trying to accomplish. I think he learned from Pop is, you know, there's certain things you keep secret, and then there's other things everybody who's watching the game can see. So you want to explain and give the reasons behind those. But I think you got to be a little bit, you know, pointed about how you ask your questions. I think if you go around and do it in a circuitous route, you're probably going to get somebody coming back to you saying, you know, something along the lines of, all right, hey, you didn't ask a very good question, so you're not going to get a very good answer. But I think that's just all those guys who have come up under Pop have learned that way.
Keith Smith joining us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The final four, and I thought this was interesting for the Jazz job, Joe Mazzulla, Adrian Griffin, and then Jazz assistant coach Alex Jensen. Adrian Griffin's been a bridesmaid for a bunch for a while now. You think eventually he'll get a shot somewhere along the line?
I got to think eventually he'll break through. I look at some of the guys in the last couple of years. Again, Ime Udoka, it felt like for about 3 years running, he was, all right, this guy's next, and then finally broke through and got the Boston job. I do think that will happen for Adrian Griffin. I know there were some kind of off-the-court things that needed to be handled and dealt with, and I think hopefully we're far enough removed from that for him, at least, to get that opportunity. So I do think that will come for him eventually here. But, yeah, it is one of those things where, you know, you keep knocking on that door until you finally break through.
And then finally, you know, regardless of who the head coach is, you know, before or after this announcement, are you let's just say if you were a betting man, what are the odds you think Rudy Gobert's on this roster come end of October, early November when the season starts?
I think they're pretty good. I have continually said I thought they were going to bring in a new coach and see the old saying, right? You can't fire all the players, so you fire the coach. Yeah. And I know that's not exactly how this played out. I'm not saying that's how this went, but I do think there is a sense of, hey, let's get somebody new in before we go get rid of defensive player of the year guy, an all-star level guy, an all-NBA level guy. Let's see if somebody else can get us a little further with this group. And I think that's what we're going to see here before they try to go too far. I think you'll see them give this at least one more run, and then that's something you can always reevaluate either at the trade deadline if you really need to, or maybe next offseason.
Hey, Keith, we appreciate it. I know it's short notice. Thanks a lot for coming on and helping us out and making sense out of this hire. And I look forward to chatting with you again here soon.
Good insight, Keith. Thanks.
Happy to. Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter, at Keith Smith, NBA writer for Sports Rack, as well as other publications, part of the Celtics blog. But we appreciate him coming on. He's been around that Celtics organization. He's seen that thing being built into what it is. And not a lot of people out there with better insight into Will Hardy and this new acquisition for the Jazz.
Most important part of that interview is Keith's understanding of the relationship between Will Hardy and the stars on that Boston Celtics team that made it to a finals. That's most important to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he had the respect of Tatum, had the respect of Brown, had the respect of everybody on the court. That's most important to me. I don't care if he's 34. If he's 34 and he can make it feel like he's in the trench with a 30-year-old or a 32-year-old, or in Mike Conley's case, a 34-year-old, the guy that's his same age, or even in Rudy Gay's case, and I know that these rosters are going to change and there's a high likelihood we won't have some of these guys around, but yeah. In his case, maybe guys that are older than him. If he can make them feel like he's in the trench, they're in this fight together, and he's got the answers to their questions to help them get where they want to go, and everybody buys in, I'm all for it. And it sounds like he had those attributes with Boston to a certain extent as an assistant, not even as a head coach, but as an assistant.
Yeah.
But there is a large amount of respect that you've got to demand. And we've seen young coaches in the NFL get hired, come in and make a big impact and go on to championship level football. How old was Sean McVay when the Rams hired him?
About the same age, early 30s.
Yeah, 34, 35, 36, yeah. Somewhere in there. And Sean McVay was able to take the Rams all the way to the promised land.
Yeah.
So, and he did it because he's smart, he works hard, he is relatable, and he got them to buy in. And those are some big-time names, especially defensively, that he got to buy in, to believe. You know, getting a couple of Hall of Fame defensive players to believe in you at that age and fight and buy in and go, that's an amazing characteristic. I'm hoping Will Hardy has it. And the only indicator that we have are guys that were around the team, and Keith Smith was around the team or around that staff, and he said that Will Hardy has a bit of that. So yeah. That's important to me.
I think it's incredibly important and is going to be absolutely critical for the Utah Jazz going forward. All right, take another break. Come back. Jazz basketball, the new era of Utah Jazz basketball, will feature Will Hardy as the new head coach and David Fizdale, not to be outdone on a day like this, is the new assistant GM. So your hierarchy kind of looks like this. Obviously, Ryan Smith, your owner, then Danny Ainge, then Justin Zanuck, and then Fizdale. underneath that. And it's a pretty good group of basketball minds there. And that's, I mean, it does feel like there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but also, you know, we talked about this a little bit with BYU and they had all these former OCs in on that offensive coaching staff. It's like there's a lot of really smart basketball minds there.
And if you can organize it without ego,
yeah,
it can work.
Yep.
If ego gets involved, then they're going to open the door and shove a guy out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have to be open-minded. Everybody's going to have to be willing to listen to the higher up or to the underneath. At times, Danny Ainge is going to need to hear Justin Zanuck. At times, Justin Zanuck is going to need to hear David Fizdale. You know, those guys are going to have to communicate and be able to be on the same page, because you're right, that's a lot of voices.
All right, Hans and Scotty will continue to break this down next. Will Hardy, the new head coach of the Utah Jazz, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Barry Trammell, sports columnist for the Oklahoman.
Is Utah the best team in the Pac-12 going into the season? Is that what most people think?
Yeah, with USC closing.
Among Sooner fans, the second favorite team in college football is Utah. Anything to keep Lincoln Riley from success.
Oh, there you go.
there it is.
That will elevate the Utes in the minds of Sooner fans, I can promise you.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Utes, Cougars, and Aggies, yeah, we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Will Hardy, the head coach of the Utah Jazz. David Fizdale, your new assistant general manager of the Utah Jazz. It's a busy day, man. When it rains, it pours.
It's being reported that Will Hardy is going to be offered a 5-year contract. You heard right there from Keith Smith. Does a fantastic job. You could follow him, as Scotty mentioned, at Keith Smith NBA, longtime NBA reporter, and is very connected with the Boston Celtics. And I thought he threw out kind of an understandable idea, which is that 5-year will actually be a 4-year with some type of team option at the back end of it. I'm sure we'll get some of the contract details as things go along, but news breaking right in the middle of our show. We had to kind of take a quick turn. Apologize to Pat Forty, and we'll probably have him on a little bit later in the week. We had him scheduled to come on and talk about the new Big 12 commissioner, but let's be honest, that story is going to take a huge back seat.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to bring an interview that doesn't make a lot of sense to you right now. We're hoping to just keep you fed with everything NBA head coaching news.
The way that the Celtics were able to hold things together, remember, you know, back in December, January, they're a 500 team, and they end up in an NBA Finals taking the Golden State Warriors, who I think were superior in a lot of aspects, take them to 6 games. Now, I think that, and they did it by just being tougher and grinding and doing all they, now granted, they got talent, you know, Tatum's arguably one of the best players in the league right now, and I think he'll be an MVP in the next 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. If not sooner. So superior talent for sure in that Eastern Conference. But boy, that team did everything right. Mm-hmm. They played the game the right way. They were tough. They were unselfish. The ball movement was incredible with that team.
Yeah,
and that's something that if you look at the Jazz was severely lacking. Now, the Jazz, you always had the blender rolling in the first, second, and third quarter. That blender, somebody pulled the plug out in the fourth quarter, and it became a lot of hero ball in the fourth quarter. That's going to be an issue Will Hardy's going to have to address. Defensively, the Jazz, again, a lot of times in the fourth quarter, just not good. And flat out, you've got your superstar, Donovan Mitchell, who sometimes never even got into a defensive stance in a possession, and was not good defensively, and sometimes just downright awful defensively. And enough of this, oh, let's go back to the film and evaluate what went wrong and we'll try to do better. No, just be better. And Will Hardy, again, a lot is going to be made of him being 34 years old, but he and his staff, however it is assembled, is going to have to collectively look at some of the superstars on this team, one in particular, and say, are you ready to play defense? Are you ready to move the ball? Are you ready to go to team-orientated basketball in the fourth quarter? Not the first, not the second, not the third, but in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, can you trust our offense and trust what we're trying to get you to do? Because if you can, look what we've done in the past. We can go a long way. Call Jason Tatum. Call Jaylen Brown. Ask them what this system did for them. Because we can do some special things, but you're going to have to buy in on this.
We've taken a look, Scotty, I think, at a lot of the optimistic angles of this hire. You know, I think we need to take a step back and be realistic and take a look at some of the potential pitfalls. You know, there are a couple here where this guy has zero head coaching experience, none. Now, everybody's got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of times you would hope that it didn't have to be your organization that it starts with. You know, and where the Jazz were already having some hiccups and tough time getting going in the postseason, fantastic regular season, good all-star talent. And I thought they, you know, put a nice compliment around those all-stars with Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanović. But you've got some real fundamental issues. And you've got now a first-time head coach that is going to probably have a lot of his assistant staff assembled for him that has to come into a situation, if Rudy Gobert is still on this team, into a situation that feels like it's a bit unstable between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. This is a young guy to come in and try to take on these problems, you know, just looking at potentially the downside of this hire.
And that's completely fair.
Yeah, it stirs my gut a little bit. Also, another downside, and correct me if I'm wrong, zero NBA playing experience. Now, you don't have to have NBA playing experience, but I do look at a guy like Donovan Mitchell and I say, who does Donovan Mitchell respect?
Yeah.
He respects his mom. I know that when his mom speaks, he shuts his mouth. He listens. And I wonder who else he respects. And if he respects this guy, great, great hire. If he doesn't, then it's going to be a short-lived experiment.
Yeah. For who? The coach or for Donovan?
The coach. Because, you know, let's face it, Donovan's on contract for another 3 years?
Yeah.
With two. A fourth option?
Option on the third.
Okay, two with a third option?
Yeah, I believe.
So, you know, let's be realistic here. If there's rumblings and Donovan feels unhappy and he didn't endorse this hire, you know, and in his mind right now, he's thinking, dude, didn't even call me on this, man. You know, I sent out this Woj release.
I was really unsettled and uncertain about our future. Do you think? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think somebody from the front office, either yesterday or today, because I got to imagine over the last couple of days, they realized, okay, this is going to be our guy. Like, I don't know when that decision was made, but I've got to imagine the last 48 to 72 hours, the Jazz, you know, with Jim Olsen and Justin Zanuck and Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge, they sat in that big old conference room. You know where I'm thinking, over there at the ZBBC. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, is this our guy? It's our guy. Let's go. And then they're like, all right, get a hold of his agent. Let's start making, you know, let's bring in Jim Larson or John Larson in here and we'll start working out the numbers and all this other stuff. And then they're looking around like, okay, we calling Donovan? Who's calling Donovan? Should we draw straws? But here's the thing. I can't imagine that Woj and Shams broke the news to Donovan Mitchell. At what point was Donovan Mitchell brought into the mix, or even Rudy Gobert, and said, hey, look, this is the direction we're going. Just be ready for this. Call your guys. Call your buddies over there in Boston. You can find out for yourself, but this is going to be our guy.
I feel like my gut tells me, with the report coming out, knowing that Dwayne Wade and Ryan Smith and the crew want to keep Donovan happy.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that he was told before the hire was actually, you know, the call was made of, hey, let's move forward. We're going to start drafting up papers. I feel like he was probably called and said, this is the direction we're looking at. before we get going, we really start getting into the contract here with Will Hardy, this is the direction we're going to go. And if Donovan stomped his feet and said, absolutely not, you know, we finally get the move made that was necessary, and, you know, we're looking at all kinds of potential and options here, and you're going to go with this 34-year-old from Boston, then they could get a feel and a read. Or if he said, hey, you know, I know a little bit about him. Bumped into him at this level of basketball. I've got two buddies that have been around him. Or I have to believe that it was mentioned before the, hey, let's get these papers drafted.
See, I think Donovan Mitchell, I think you're right. I think the Jazz still would have hired him, even if Donovan Mitchell threw a tantrum about it.
Even if he stomped his feet?
But Donovan Mitchell wasn't going to do that. Donovan's way too passive-aggressive for that. Donovan, I think, when you get him cornered, I think Donovan would be like, okay, all right. And then he would be and moan to people close to him. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's I think he's too passive-aggressive for that.
To stomp in front of the,
yeah,
the front office?
I don't think he would do that. Hmm. Now, not to say I would rather he do that than slink into a corner and complain to his team and all of a sudden there's weird social media posts and things along that way. Because I think if he didn't like the hire, and this is me just speculating, I think it would go more that way than him calling up Danny Ainge. He's like, you make this hire, so help me. Get me out of here. I'm going to get a trade. I want out. I don't think he's capable of that right now.
But I do get a sense that it was probably acknowledged before drafting papers and then quickly advanced afterwards. And I'm sure that that Donovan Mitchell, before Shams and Woj reported it an hour and a half ago, I'm sure that he was pretty well aware.
Oh, I guarantee he was aware
of what was happening at that.
I think pretty much every member of the team probably got a heads up on it because, frankly, it's the right thing to do. I don't want any of my players finding out via Twitter who their new head coach is going to be. I just don't think that's fair to them.
So we've got free agency kicking off July 1st, and you know this is interesting. It's an interesting time to hire. And it brings the mind that's going to be working on the court with the personnel. And I can't help but think, who does Will Hardy know? Who would he like to get on this Jazz roster? Who would he feel confident with? And what scheme that he's bringing in? I'm actually glad to see the hire. Scotty, I've asked both of our guests, David Locke, well, I think all three of our guests, David Locke, Ben Anderson, and Keith Smith, since this hire, I've asked them if the timing of this tells them anything. I asked them that because the timing of this tells me something. The timing of this hire tells me something. Tells me a few things. Tells me, number one, this guy kind of hit the jackpot. He knocked some interview or knocked something out of the park where the front office looked around like, oh my gosh, this guy's sharp. He just came in and he owned this. So it tells me that. Number two, it tells me that they want that mind and they want that knowledge jumping in to some of the free agency situations and some of the opportunities, potentially even looking at a Rudy Gobert trade. You know, he now has the opportunity. This wasn't a trade and then a coaching hire. This is a coaching hire and now we're looking at the trades. So he can be a part of that. And then you can have David Fizdale, your new assistant GM, and you can have Justin Zanuck. Looking at him like, all right, this is where we're headed. What kind of work can you do with this? Can you make this work? How would you feel about this? And I think that that's a good thing. So to me, it's a very positive indicator that they found their guy. And it wasn't like, well, we're just going to settle with one of the 15. It's this guy came and owned it. And we're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of things into the timing of this.
Yeah, I mean, And the Jazz could have slow played it because there's no competition for Will Hardy out there right now. Like, Charlotte got their guy. So Steve Clifford's there in Charlotte, so no other NBA team is hiring right now. So you could put these guys on the back burner and say, hey, you know, we'll let you know. Our people will get back to your people. We're going to get through Summer League here. We got an event, you know, we're going to be playing games here in Utah, and then we'll all go down to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So we can wait. And you'll still take the job because there's only 30 of these jobs on the planet. But if you want this guy to get his fingerprints on this team, you got to do it right now. And as you mentioned, free agency's coming, even though the Jazz really can't do anything significant via free agency. But you've got the trades, you got free agency, you got a lot of things coming up for the Utah Jazz.
Big calendar events. Yeah.
Big calendar events. It is going to be weird. I mean, Alex Jensen's supposed to coach your summer league. The practices on that are going to start here in the next few days. And is Alex Jensen going to be part of this staff?
So with the announcement from Shams and from Adrian Wojnarowski, for those of you just tuning in, the announcement came from Shams first that the Utah Jazz will, in fact, be hiring Boston Celtics assistant coach Will Hardy as their next head coach. So, Scotty, with that announcement coming about an hour and a half ago, what are you anticipating from the, you know, Frank Zhang official Utah Jazz release? Like, how long do we sit and wait for something like
that? I think you'll probably get an official press release coming later today. I think you'll probably have a press conference. What's today, Tuesday? Probably Thursday, I would say.
So he'll be in town in front of a mic Thursday?
I would again, I'm just guessing at this point. Tomorrow seems a little early. I could see it being on Thursday. And then you've got summer league games starting next week. And yeah, I mean, he's going to want to be able to look at that roster, see what he's got, and go from there.
I keep checking my phone for the official announcement, looking at it every 5 seconds.
It's usually about four. I would say over, under on the official announcement. Now, granted, this isn't – he hasn't accepted it, according to Shams or Woj. Nope. And he may pull a – who's the guy from Golden State who agreed to terms and then
– Charlotte.
And with Charlotte and then – but I can't imagine that's going to happen again.
Yeah.
So I would say, probably.
That was embarrassing.
4:30.
That was embarrassing. And you definitely don't want these things leaking if you don't know for a fact. And that doesn't mean they don't leak, because it certainly did with Charlotte's situation.
Yeah. And Charlotte probably leaked it because they're like, hey, we got our guy.
Yeah.
We're good. We sent over the DocuSign earlier today. He's going to send it back any given moment.
So things could still happen, as we've seen, but this definitely feels a little bit more solid. And you got to imagine, this is a 34-year-old with an opportunity to be a head coach of a team that's got two All-Stars.
He's
on
not,
it.
And
this isn't. He's not Charlotte.
Yeah,
this is the Utah Jazz. It's a big deal.
All right. Wrap this thing up. Unrivaled's going to take over at 3 o'clock. Continued coverage of the Utah Jazz with their new head coach, Will Hardy, and David Fizdale. We'll continue to break that down throughout the day right here on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The NBA draft was filled with excitement and intrigue for the Utah Jazz. Okay, well, maybe the draft was a dud. But hey, the offseason is just getting started.
Everybody better brace themselves
for all the latest insight and analysis on the Utah Jazz. Keep it locked on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Another edition of the show. Hans and Scotty, thanks for making us part of your Tuesday. You know, Hans and I thought we'd just be sitting around talking about Big 12 football commissioners for 3 hours. Bam! New head coach, new assistant GM.
Yeah,
let's go.
Big day, and we did bury a lot of stories. We're going to hang on to some of these things because it was actually a jam-packed day. Good, bad, and ugly was jam-packed. Our sports roulette was jam-packed. But there are a ton of stories, sports stories that are going on around the NBA, the NFL, college football. But it's always fun when something like this comes down the line.
I just showed you the story of the guy that can deadlift 285 pounds with his middle finger.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Had this contraption with a little hook on it, puts his middle finger and just lifts up 285 pounds.
I was thinking, like, at the height of my strength, how much weight could I have lifted with my middle finger? I'll bet it was over 200 pounds. It's got to be.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, it's got to be. That's crazy. What do you even do? I mean, if you got a strong middle finger like that.
I don't know. But
I like to exercise it on the show.
How could you? Yeah. Lloyd's found a way to use it.
Yeah, Lloyd. Maybe knock that off. We do have a new dump button. You guys want to try it out?
Yeah, say something. Let's see.
Nah.
I'm told it works like a gym.
Well,
looks great.
Shame on you.
Yeah, there you go, buddy.
Let's go to Fox Hollow, shall we?
You're free to really.
Where's Nate want to kick us?
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
Quad. Yep, I said quad.
All right. Hey, by the way.
Let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd, and Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the quad.
What?
In the square.
Sorry. I didn't mean for him to play the drop.
I like how that was supposed to be dumped, and then it turns into a promo.
Oh, we got dumped. Oh, we got dumped.
Yeah, but then it turned into a promo.
Well, it was dumped. It was fine.
All of my miscues get turned into promos.
Nah, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. We need to start getting stuff on Lloyd, too. Whatever little
I know. Soon. It's coming soon, apparently.
We can play Lloyd stuff.
All right, and make sure to join Unrivaled as they will be broadcasting live at R&R Barbecue coming up on Thursday, 3 p.m. at R&R Barbecue in Midvale, 7171 South Bingham Junction Boulevard. You can vote for your favorite sauce, available exclusively at the Days of 47. Food, prizes, and more, R&R Barbecue in Midvale. All right, that wraps it up for us. Unrivaled next. Continued coverage of the Utah Jazz as the Jazz have their new head coach, Will Hardy. And David Fizdale is the new assistant general manager. More on that coming up right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.